Well, good morning, my brethren and sisters in the Lord. Are we plugged in here? Jeff? Okay, good. What we've done so far in our studies is that we've looked at a very, very big principle, namely the Exodus journey, a pattern which is that large which you can't miss. And then we looked at something within that context, namely the tabernacle, which is an item or a building related to the Exodus journey. And then we came down a little smaller and we looked at the high priest, an item of detail, shall we say, that related to the tabernacle. And now we're going to come down to something far smaller, far more detailed in many respects, and that is a study in the holy anointing oil. And we have read of it today. So I bring you then to Exodus 30, if you've still got your books open. We're going to look at this holy anointing oil. We're going to, as it were, take out our magnifying glasses. And if you thought you had to have a thinking cap on yesterday, well, you ain't seen nothing yet. Is that how you say it? Got it. It's like being on another planet, you understand? Alright, as we read this account, notice particularly the composition. Four specific ingredients suspended in oil. We've got five substances that relate to reeds and trees. We've got four solids suspended in one liquid. And here they are, Exodus 30 and at verse 22, and I'm taking it from the Revised Version. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take thou also of the chief spices, and the word chief there is rosh. It is the word for head, rosh, the head spices. And obviously these spices are for the head, so that's why it's important. The head spices of flowing myrrh, 500 shekels, sweet cinnamon, 250 shekels, sweet calamus, 250 shekels, of cassia, 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, and an oil, on an olive oil, and hin. Verse 25, and thou shalt make it an holy anointing oil, a perfume, compounded after the art of the perfumer, it shall be holy anointing oil. And thou shalt anoint the tabernacle, verse 27, that's the tent, the furniture, the vessels, the laver, and the altar of sin offering. Verse 29, and thou shalt sanctify them, that they may be most holy. Whosoever shall touch them shall be holy. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons, and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And of course this was not allowed to be poured upon the flesh. It was not to be copied in any way. Verse 33. For whosoever compoundeth any like it, or whosoever putteth any of it unto a stranger, shall be cut off from his people. So you see that the holy anointing oil was unique. It was used for the anointing of the tabernacle. It was to be used for the anointing of the high priest and the Levites. It is a detail that joins, in fact, our two previous studies, in fact, all three of our previous studies, together. Well, what's this all about? Four ingredients suspended in oil. Well, did we remember the four bars on the outside of those boards? And there was one bar that ran in the midst. Excuse me. Well, I've got some water this time. Excuse me. A little cup of water for the throat's sake, or the stomach's sake. I think I got that wrong. I think it was wine, wasn't it? Right, so we see the pattern there. Four bars, and the one that ran in the midst, which represented for us the Spirit of Christ. Here we have four ingredients suspended in oil. And of course, we shouldn't be surprised that when we come to the New Testament, we have four portraits of the Lord Jesus Christ, through Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. And of course we have the gospel of the Holy Spirit, don't we? Namely, the Acts of the Apostles. And of course there are many patterns like that in Scripture, and we're going to be dealing with those a little more tomorrow. But let's take out the magnifying glass and look at this pure flowing myrrh, if we can just have on the transparency. I hope you can all read that. As the study today is reasonably detailed and complex, I've written down a lot of the scriptures for you. We're not going to be talking about all the details, but just some of them. But for those who want to make notes from time to time as we're going through the study, you'll find the quotations on the left-hand side. My left, your right. Okay, first of all, pure flowing myrrh. There were two types of myrrh. The first type, we find that the bark was removed from the tree, which resulted in the death of the tree. And of course, that would be a bit of a hopeless situation, simply because you'd have a whole bunch of dead trees. We saw a dead tree the other day on the slides. But the second type is the type that we are interested in here. It consisted of a type of gum resin, almost like a rubber tree. You'd cut a V in the side of the tree, and so you would bleed the tree. This would be pure flowing myrrh. It was the lifeblood of the tree, which was to be given freely. Now this little word in verse 23, pure myrrh in the Authorized Version, or flowing myrrh in the Revised Version. The Hebrew word there is the word daror, D-E-R-O-R, and it's been translated as liberty in Leviticus 25. And I'd like to bring you to Leviticus 25, and no prizes for guessing what Leviticus 25 is all about. Let's hear it. Come on, Leviticus 25, it should be coming right off the top of your head. The year of Jubilee, thank you very much, the year of Jubilee. We spoke about that yesterday in the tabernacle, or it was the day before rather, with the 50 boards, the 50 loops of blue, the 50 cloths of gold. And here in Leviticus 25 and at verse 8, thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years, which will give you 49 years. And of course in the 50th year, that's when we proclaim liberty. Verse 10. And ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty. Same Hebrew word, daror. Thou shalt proclaim liberty throughout all the land, unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you. Now of course one can go through a reasonably detailed study of how the word myrrh is found, to drop or distill. There's some references there. It occurs many times, in fact. Of the 12 times that this word occurs, a myrrh, in the Old Testament, 8 times it is to be found in the Songs of Solomon. It's to do with the bride of Christ. It is to do with the marriage supper of the Lamb. There's some references there for you to look at. But let's just look at this little principle of the tree giving its life freely. And let's try and thread some of these ideas together to see whether we can't get some kind of meaning out of this pure flowing myrrh. And I'm going to suggest to you that it is possible that the tree gave of its life willingly. It was pure flowing. And because it gave willingly, there was liberty to be had. And of course this is true when we look at the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He gave his life willingly, did he not? And because he gave his life willingly, he received liberty, total liberty, freedom from the dead, freedom from sin and death, all of which brought a sweet-smelling savour to the Father. And of course there's a great exhortation there for us, isn't there? And that the only way that we, as brethren and sisters, will acquire freedom is by giving freely in service to our Lord and to each other. Sweet cinnamon. Two of the main characteristics of cinnamon is that it comes from the evergreen tree called the laurel family, and I'm sure, do we use that word here? The laurel family of tree? And they obviously, from the laurel family of tree, they used to make the laurel wreath that used to go onto the top of the head of a person who won in a race. The second characteristic is that the sweet cinnamon came from the inner bark when the tree had shed its outer bark. Again, we have this inner bark and outer bark situation, and when the outer bark came off, the inner bark was in fact where we got this sweet cinnamon from. Now the Hebrew word for sweet here is the word Bethem, and I'd like to bring you to Esther chapter 2. Esther chapter 2, where we find an interesting relationship to this word used in the text. It is to do with the purification of woman. 6 months they were to purify themselves with oil and myrrh, and then 6 months with sweet odors, Bethem, Bethem odors. And here it is in chapter 12 in Esther. Esther chapter 2 and at verse 12. Now when the turn of every maiden was come to go into the king Ahasuerus, after that it had been done unto her according to the law for woman, 12 months, for so were the days of their purification accomplished, to it 6 months with oil and myrrh, and 6 months with sweet Bethem. The word is odors. And with the things for the purification of woman. So we can see that even in that first section there, primarily it is to do with woman. It is